GoDaddy.com. Use the code BLU139 to get 10% off any combination of purchases at GoDaddy.com. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1353, June 10, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from near Evansville, Indiana. There was no podcast last night. I spent the night last night at Stewart's Draft, Virginia. That's where the load that I had dropped and hooked at. And they immediately... after I sent the empty message, they immediately, pretty quickly turned right around and sent another load that picked up at the same place that delivers to Edwardsville, Illinois. That's basically suburban St. Louis on the Illinois side. And so I was tired, went to bed, got up this morning, set my alarm, got up this morning, and... was parked basically outside the gate of the place where I dropped the trailer last night, and then went back in there and picked up got the paperwork, picked up the load, and got underway. And so I've made it over here to near Evansville, Indiana, and then that I think that leaves me about 100, I don't know, let's say roughly 160 miles more to get over to the St. Louis area. So busy day today. I ended up driving about 10¾ hours, and so I knew I was getting close, but so I stopped here at there's a Flying J truck stop, and then a couple of pilot truck stops. So I pulled into one of the pilot truck stops, and I kind of figured everything up, and I realized, oops, I've only got 15 minutes left. Might as well park here. And fortunately, there were a couple empty parking spots here in the parking lot. That's usually the case. If you can, I find that if I can, if I can find a place where there are several truck stops that are just kind of right across the street from each other, there tends to be maybe a few parking spots left in each of them. That's not always true, but if you've got more parking, obviously, that you have in one, let's say at one exit, the more likely it is that you're going to find a place to park in it. So, as I say, I was able to find a place to park, and so that's where, this is where I'm spending the night at. Now, on the, before I get started, I'm going to talk about my phone here. Before I do that, before I forget, I want to talk a little bit about yourbabycanread.com. Your Baby Can Read is a truly revolutionary infant reading system. It was developed by a leading infant researcher, Dr. Robert Titzer, who taught his own daughter to read when she was just 9 months old. Your Baby Can Read taps into children's natural ability to learn language in the first 5 years of life. The reading system includes videos, books, flashcards, and games. Go to yourbabycanread.com to watch real home videos of infants and toddlers reading. A 6-month-old recognizing words on flashcards, an 18-month-old reading sentences, a toddler reading Charlotte's Web, Try it yourself risk-free and see what your child can do. Visit www.yourbabycanread.com/podcast. That's my extra link there. Give the lifelong gift of early literacy to your child. And of course, there's a banner in my, if you go to my show notes, truckertompodcast.com, there's a banner there that with the yourbabycanread.com/podcast. You can click on that, and then that way you don't have to remember it. In any case, Tyler was, when I met Tyler the other night there in Louisville, he was telling me that he had actually got that for his kid before it became, you know, before I started getting it as an advertiser. And it actually does work. He was impressed with it. So, give that a try. So anyway, you know, I ordered that Sprint HTC Evo cell phone the other day, and they sent it to my house. It did go to my house, and so my youngest, I got my youngest brother to go by and pick it up after he got off work. He went by and picked it up, and so he was able to get it, and that was yesterday. And then so once they sent the load, you know, I kind of realized, hey, I'm going to the St. Louis area, passing by lots, plenty of truck stops, and so I kind of figured out that I could get them to send that to a truck stop that I'd be passing by, you know, so I kind of, to make a long story short, what I was able to do was, I've had this FedEx account for a long time. You know, anybody can set up a FedEx account, and so all you have to do is give the person, you know, someone your account number, and they can FedEx stuff to you. And so, you know, I had that, and so I was, what I was able to do was schedule a pickup so that they would pick that up at my youngest brother's, the office that he works in. And, you know, in the meantime, I'd given him, you know, the address of the truck stop along with my FedEx number. I'd sent that to him already, and then I talked to him on the phone, and so I scheduled the pickup, and so they were able to, FedEx was bringing something else, you know, some other package to his office, and so that worked out really well. He was able to just send that right off, and so that should, if everything goes well, that should be at that truck stop, you know, it should be there by the time I get there, if, you know, if it all goes well. And so keep my fingers crossed, and so far I checked, he sent me the tracking number, my brother sent me the tracking number, and so I checked, and it's in Memphis already, you know, so it's made it to Memphis, and I have no doubt but what it'll get sent out. FedEx is extremely reliable, and you know, I've always, everything with FedEx, I've always, you know, it's always been 100% reliable, and they've got a really high reliability rate. So does UPS, by the way. I've always had really good luck with UPS. So in any case, that should be there tomorrow. So if, like I say, if all goes well, should be able to get my hands on the phone tomorrow. Now, of course, it may take a while for me to set the thing up. I don't know. It just kind of depends on how much time I have to mess with it. You know, because I'll you know, I need to get my data on there, but that's easy. The data part's pretty easy. But I'll just need, you know, obviously need to plug it in and charge it up once I get it, because it'll come with, usually those a device like that will come with some charge. But it needs to be plugged in and charged completely. And of course, then there's always, you know, I'll spend hours and hours playing with it. But you know, a smartphone is a lot like a computer, you know, because you're putting different account information in there and doing all kinds of things, you know. And of course, this has got, this phone has got tons of social networking stuff in it, and so on and so forth. And then, of course, once I set it up, you know, not sure what I'll do first. Probably, I guess, once I've charged it, then I'll probably go ahead and transfer the number over. Now, that, in the past, when I did that one time, when I transferred the number from an old device to a new one, it didn't go very quickly, and then I ended up having to call them back, and there was something that, some part that I'd missed or something, or that they had missed, and then it went very quickly. Now, another time that I did it, it went, you know, just bang, you know, just within a few minutes, and it transferred. So, you know, it just, so I'll have to do that, and that may take a little while for the number to transfer over. It, you know, if everything's right, it should go pretty quickly, though, has been my experience. So, got to do that, and then, you know, as I say, you know, spend a lot of time probably messing with it. But keep my fingers crossed. It should, you know, as I say, FedEx is very reliable, and it should get to where, you know, it should get to the truck stop. So looking forward to that tomorrow, probably late tomorrow morning is when, you know, when I should be getting my hands on that. So hopefully that'll work out. As I said in the other podcast, you know, over the years I've received a number of packages at truck stops from trucking companies, and then, you know, plus my own stuff that I had sent to a truck stop when I was out on the road, you know, buying merchandise and what have you, and it, you know, it's always worked. I've never had a problem. It's, you know, it's worked every time. So you know, and that's very common for. That's a pretty common thing for trucking companies in particular to send stuff to drivers. Just having, you know, like a package of paperwork or something waiting at a truck stop. And so that you know, they're used to that type of thing, especially in larger truck stops. So, anyway, what I have here, I've got a piece of audio that was sent. It's about 4 minutes and 59 seconds, sent to me by Michael Moss, that does a Post-it Cast podcast, and I haven't listened to this at all, so we're going to be kind of experiencing this together. May end up doing a stop-start on it, I don't know. So in any case, here is Michael Moss.
Hey, Michael Moss here, Tom, responding to Trucker Tom podcast here, 1350, on the comments you made at the beginning when it comes to, you know, church and people and religion and like, and you were talking about eliminating religion. You know, there are a lot of good people in religion, and there are a lot of bad people in religion. Don't get me wrong on that. And same says for churches. There's some really good ones, and there's some really bad ones. Ones that are in for what it's supposed to be about, and then others that are in for the money. Same with televangelists and anything connected to religion. I think what we've lost, Tom, we've lost the meaning of what it means to be a believer in many ways. In other words, we get too involved in being right. Oh, this group's not right, they're going in. You don't believe it exactly the way I do.
Okay, now let me interrupt. You know, obviously churches have failed. Why do I say that? Well, look at the moral decline that's happened, in particular over the last 20, 30, maybe even beginning 40 years ago, but certainly the last 30 years, there's been a tremendous moral decline in the United States. And so obviously whatever the churches were doing wasn't working. it just didn't work right. So it's there, and like you say, there's good churches and bad churches. There's good people that claim to be religious, and there's bad people that claim to be religious. They're kind of cloak themselves. And they may fool themselves. They wrap themselves up in verses and chapters and the behavior. And the externalized behavior of appearances, and they do way more harm than good. Somebody like that is very dangerous, especially to their immediate family. Around them, because the immediate family sees the especially if they have kids, they see the hypocrisy, and. So it's obvious that churches have kind of failed. And the problem, here is the problem, as I see it. What is the real meaning of religion? If you break the word down, or just the word religion, break that down. And then the religion part, comes, there's this logos. And that's... I don't know if it's probably Greek, logos, and that suggests to me logic, and original logic, logic, religion, coming back to original identity. So that's what that means to me. We've lost contact with who we could be, who we're meant to be. And ideally, religion, it's a religious group or church or someone that claims to be religious should help you. Ideally, they should help you come back to your original identity, to be able to make contact with it. And then you don't need them anymore. Then you go off on your merry way. You've got your own connection. You don't need the preacher anymore. You don't need but the problem is that they've turned it into an identity. It's a corporation. The chances are that the typical church has a real, they've got a real good possibility of just turning into sort of ego servicers, ego suckers. And then you get this whole externalized identity that's kind of created around reciting verses and chapters and the preacher doing a song and dance, a little soft shoe. And then they pass the collection plate around and they have their building funds and so on and so forth. And so you have a group of people that have a kind of an identity that they periodically, once a week, twice a week, they go back and get it serviced. This externalized identity, and they never have to face themselves. And so it's all about identity. It is all about identity, but the right way of doing it is, you as an individual, me as an individual, anyone as an individual should really be looking for the truth directly, direct connection to it. And then when you find that, you find the means to that direct connection, you don't need the group anymore. Then you go, as I say, you go off on your merry way and you don't need them anymore. That's not to say that you shun them completely, but it doesn't mean, it means that you don't need them. Now, the problem is that, a lot of these churches, they want nothing more than you to need them. And in fact, if you show any signs of independence or you ask the wrong questions in a lot of cases, they don't want you. They want you to just kind of fall in line and everyone kind of dresses alike and acts alike and talks alike and has the same likes and dislikes. And it's an identity. And it's all fake and phony. You know, now as I say, there are decent people. I'm not indicting everybody. There's decent Christians. Quite frankly, there are decent non-Christians. You know, and I think there are decent atheists, people that profess that they're atheists. And ultimately, you know, I said this before, I don't think it matters. If someone says they're an atheist, you know, that doesn't really matter. What is the real bottom line is whether or not you're being honest with yourself, whether or not you're really being genuine with yourself, and coming back to that logic, and whether or not you establish a direct connection with that original identity, that you know, the person that you could be. And you know, let me throw a different concept at you. When we come into the world, and I've talked about this, you know, in the past, when we come into the world, we've got two spirits waiting on us. You know, there's two spirits that wait on us. You know, to put it very simply, God, and then the other one is Satan. You know, so your original identity comes from God, your creator. And, you know, whatever that is, and I think God is very different than what we think he is. You know, we have this image that people have built up, you know, and the reality of God is very different from what we, you know, what our, the typical churchy type thing understanding is. But then you have Satan. Now, what's the, you know, and so if you think of God, you know, that identity kind of naturally coming from within, you know, and the satanic type of identity coming from the outside. And but there are those two spirits that wait on us. And so, you know, and then to really put things simply, those spirits think through us, you know, whichever way, you know, we're either moving towards one or the other. There is no vacuum. You know, there is no standing still. You're either moving one way or the other. There is no, nature abhors a vacuum. You can't just stand in the middle. You know, you're either going one way or you go the other. And that's it. But either one of those spirits, you know, the idea is that they think, those spirits think through us. So, you know, if you can kind of think of it that way, then, you know, that's kind of simplified, but it's you know, that can really help you understand in a way, you know, what's going on. But it's all about your identity, and where is your identity coming from? Where, you know, the ideas that you have in your head, where are those ideas coming from? And you know, what appeals to you? And of course, we've all kind of bitten the apple, or the bitten, take, you know, we don't know that it's an apple, or bitten the forbidden fruit via, you know, coming into this world resenting. We've all, you know, bitten the forbidden fruit, and so on and so forth. So we've all got kind of a, you know, our identities have been corrupted, and this world is all about exploring what it means to have a corrupted identity, you know. And so in any case, let's go on. I could continue talking for the entire, I could go on for hours. So anyway, here's some more of Michael's comment.
Then you're not a believer, and you're going to hell, and you're doing this and you're doing that. You know, frankly, that way of thinking is very closed-minded and very frustrating, for that matter. Because, yes, there are books that are left out. There are things that are misinterpreted. And it's pretty sad, you know, because you don't just end at the book. A lot of people just end at the book, or they end at what the pastor says. In other words, they believe only what the pastor says, and they don't do any research. They don't look at the text. They just don't take the time, or the research to find these things out on their own, and in some cases find out what God really wants from them, what their purpose is in life, or what their direction is in life. You know, that's where a lot of people in the church fail. In other words, they only take it to where that what they've been told. They don't look at it on their own. Wherever the preacher says is the gospel, it's right, it can't be wrong. Even though, keep in mind, those pastors are human beings. They make mistakes. Humans make mistakes. There's nothing wrong with questioning things. There's nothing wrong with people wanting to dig into the truth. And yes, read as much as possible, even things that are not in the Bible. You know, the Bible is a starting point. The ultimate responsibility, if you want to get closer to your conscience and closer to God, you have to take that as a starting point and grow from there. If you only start at the starting point and never go anywhere, your faith is dead. It's worthless. You don't have faith. You have too much. You have more of a cult. You have more of just a dogma.
Let me interrupt. Now, you know, what is faith? You know, really, what is it? You know, because we have this idea that it's, well, if you just believe in something, then it's going to happen somehow. Or, you know, when people pray, it's like they've got an Amazon.com wish list. You know, they want this, they want that, and then you have the let's make a deal type of prayers. You know, where if God, if I do this, then you'll do that. You know, and that type of thing. And, you know, and they're trying to sort of manipulate God into giving them the outcome that they want. You know, which is that, you know, and that's, by the way, those are all absurd. What is faith? When it comes right down to it, what is it? You know, is faith, you know, is it faith something that you have in a book? Is faith something that you have in a person? Is faith something that you have in a, you know, an idea system? System of ideas? Is faith something that you have in a, you know, political ideology? Is faith something that you have in your government? What faith really is, if you stop and think about it, what faith really is, or should be, and I think it is, if you think about it, even if it's the wrong kind of faith, faith sort of indicates the source of your identity. You have faith in your government. Well, does that mean that it makes you a better, let's say you got faith in the American government. Does that make you a better American? You know, or you've got faith in Chevrolet, for example, or faith in Ford, or faith in Toyota, or faith in whatever. You know, let's say this. You know, here it's kind of off the news now, but Toyota there for a while was getting a lot of bad press because of the supposed sticking accelerator problems. You know, and people have forgotten all about that now. But for a while, Toyota was getting a ton of bad press, and what? You know, I guarantee you there are people that identified with Toyota. They bought Toyota products. They were great. You know, they thought Toyota products were great. And with all that bad press Toyota was getting, those people's identities were crushed. You know, the same thing can happen with any kind of an identity. If that, whatever it is you've identified with externally, takes a blow, then you're taking the blow. It's like they're bad-mouthing you, not Toyota. They're bad-mouthing you because you believed in Toyota. So faith really, if you think about it, faith really is sort of the, you know, whatever you put faith in is the source of your identity. And if it's externalized, if you're putting faith in a book, you're putting faith in a preacher, or faith in a church, you know, and you know, it's all fake and phony. It's all externalized. You know, now you can read something out of the Bible, for example, or, you know, or just pick any other book, but you can read, you know, because there's lots of, don't get me wrong, there's great, you know, the Bible's full of good, just chock full of good stuff. But if you relate to the external world in the right way, you can read your Bible, and if you're relating to it properly, it reminds, you know, it kind of reminds you of, or it sort of excites, let's say you read just a single Bible verse and it kind of jumps out at you, and if you're relating to it properly, it should, it's almost like it's reminding you of something that you maybe had forgotten, or you kind of knew it, you know, you sort of knew it, but then all of a sudden you read the Bible verse and it just kind of jumps out at you and you understand it, or it kind of excites something within you, you know, a greater understanding. And it could be, you know, not only a Bible, but it could be, you know, it can come from a lot of other different sources. But if you relate to the external world properly, then you can say, oh, I understand that. You know, I see this little fact over here and that one over there and this one over here, and they all kind of come together, and then you understand something. All of a sudden, and you know, and that takes place somewhere within you, and you know, somewhere within you, you suddenly understand something. And you know, that understanding might come out of a book, or it might come out of a story, but it's something that happens within you. And you know, so faith really is the source of your identity, regardless of whether you say you believe, you know, this idea, well, I believe in this or believe in that, or you just give, you know, you say you believe in the Bible or you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Really, when it comes down to it, that doesn't matter. As I said, you know, atheists, Tom Harris, are you listening? Atheists have faith too. Whether you want to admit that or not, you know, there's several, and that's not only Tom Harris. There's several atheists that are listeners. You have faith too. You're getting your identity from somewhere. What are you putting your faith in? You know, what are you putting your faith in? And guarantee you that, you know, of course, we all, you know, I think we're a mixture. We all end up kind of with a mixture. We kind of put, you know, and we may go through a phase of our lives where we sort of put faith in something external. You know, and as I say, if you've got, you know, I can give you a little story. One time, this has been way back in the 80s, and I was working for this, it was Willis Shaw, the trucking company, and this other trucking company, it was Clay Hyder Truck Lines out of Florida, bought Willis Shaw. And so before that, Willis Shaw, you know, they had this, you know, whatever logo. It was kind of, you know, it was kind of an old style, logo that they had on their trucks. And so when this other company came along and bought them, and this, as I say, this was in the later part of the 1980s, other company bought them, they changed the logo, and so they started putting a different logo on all of the trucks and trailers. Starting, you know, so that you had, for a period of time, you had trucks and trailers that had the old style logo, and then you had a mixture of, you know, some of them had the new style. And so I was talking to, you know, to this one driver, and it was clear to me that he was upset because the company had gotten bought out and they were changing the logos. And this became clear to me, this guy identified with the logo. It was like all of a sudden they were changing his identity because, he, you know, he had identified with the logo. You know, he had identified him, you know, it sounds silly, you know, if you think about it objectively, but he had identified himself as a Willis Shaw truck driver. And that, you know, and so a lot of truck drivers, you go in a typical truck stop and you'll see drivers that are wearing whatever company hat, you know, whatever trucking company they work for, they wear the company hat, or they wear some kind of a jacket that's got a company insignia on it, or a t-shirt, or some sort of a shirt that's got the, you know, the company name or company logo on it. You know, and people do that. You know, people identify with brands. You know, it's, you know, commercial brands. You know, Apple computer. You know, a lot of Apple computer. You know, Apple. A lot of the Apple, the really rabid ones, identify themselves. They're special because they're Apple computer users. Well, it's just, I got news for you. I have an Apple computer. It's just a computer. I like it. In some ways, it functions really well. It's not perfect, but you know, I kind of like the way it functions. But I'm not. You know, it's not. You know, if Apple went out of business tomorrow, it wouldn't be the end of my world. I just, you know, I'd get it. There are other computers. They go on. You know, there are other computers, other software. It wouldn't be the end of the world. You know, but if, you know, some company goes out of business, it's just like, you know, it would be the, you know, if Apple went out of business tomorrow, there would be a number of people that would just be absolutely depressed. You know, and Apple, you know, that makes a good example, because there are a number of the really rabid Apple fanboy types that just absolutely identify with it. So what you put your faith in is where your identity comes from. Now, what does it mean to put your faith in God? You know, what does that really mean? What, you know, it revolves around being genuine, and it revolves around being able to kind of sit still and sort of face yourself. Kind of allow God to, you know, God to catch up to you through your conscience. Allow your conscience to catch up with you. So, you know, I don't mention it very often. You go to my website, truckertompodcast.com. Up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that. There are about three MP3 files there that you can download. Meditation exercise, give that a try. It's a very simple exercise. If you'll really try that, give it an honest try, I think you'll find that it'll help you. It will help most people. And if you do find that it helps you, then continue to do it, because it has a cumulative effect over time. You know, and it just kind of helps you to, you know, practice basically just kind of being still and sort of getting your, you know, at least temporarily getting yourself out of the whirlpool of thoughts. You know, and so in any case, probably better, let's go ahead and listen to some more of Michael's comment here, because as I say, I just keep talking and talking and talking.
And that is where people fail. I would like to see people be more responsible in their faith and grow in their faith by reading more than just the Bible. Yeah, listen to some folks talk, but not taking everything as gospel unless you've looked at the claims that they've made. You know, and continually grow. Because it's up the way that it is to grow. In other words, it's a starting point. And a lot of people don't use the starting point. A lot of people that do it last and then try to go backwards to try your own faith, and you can't do that. But I think people can. As for organized religion, yeah, you mentioned the words, organized. That does kind of bother me. Because, yeah, there you are dealing with a very set amount of beliefs and dogmas. And if you kind of go past it, you know, then you're fiddle-paddling with the political side of it, which I don't like at all. I do not like politics in belief. It's too worldly. It causes too many problems. It causes egos to flare up. And hence makes it all look bad. But that's my opinion on your comment there, Tom, that you made in 1350.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. And, of course, you can find Michael's podcast, the Post-it Cast, postitcast.mevio.com, or just type in Michael W. Moss into Google, and you'll find him, or type in Post-it Cast, PostitCast, you'll find it. What is faith? You know, and faith is it really is, now that I've had it, yeah, just basically that popped into my head, and that's what I was kind of thinking about it as I was talking about it. I was kind of thinking out loud, and it really is the source of our identity. What we have faith in is the source of our is the source of who we are. And if that's an externalized faith in the external world, then that's our identity. You know, and a person like that, you know, that's kind of externalized, a person like that can appear to be, you can appear to be a normal person, so on and so forth, but if something happens to the world that you live in, or something happens to the things that you've identified with, whether it's a brand name, or maybe you've identified with another person somehow, or a group of people, something happens, it's like you've been crushed. An example would be, you know, what's happening with the Catholic religion. You know, there's been all this really bad press about the priest that molested the kids, and you know, and this went on for years and years and years, and the church, it appears, the Catholic Church kind of swept it under the rug, and so there's been all this bad press. Well, there are people, obviously, there are millions of people that identify themselves as Catholic. And they go to the church and do all of the typical organized religion stuff, and it's like they've been crushed. You know, they're that identity that, you know, and by the way, a lot, you know, and it happened, and I don't want to just single them out because it happens in every church, every organized religion. They're paying to get their identity serviced. They're paying for an identity. You know, and you know, you go to the church and you pay your tithe, you pay your, you know, they pass the plate around and you pay. You're paying the preacher to, you know, the priest to do the little song and dance and smile at you and what have you, and then, you know, you do that on Sunday, and then you go home and you beat your wife and you beat your kids and you get drunk and what have you. Go back on Wednesday, sing song, preacher smiles at you, so religiousize, and then go back home and, you know, get drunk again, beat your wife, beat your kids, and, you know, just keep doing it over and over again. And I'm exaggerating, but in some cases I'm probably not exaggerating to make a point, because people do that. You know, maybe they don't go to that extreme, but people do stuff like that. Like as not, you know, you go into a church and you're going to find a lot of people that do that kind of thing. They're there to kind of get this idea, the sense of identity, because they don't have any identity. They're cut off from who they could be, And of course, what cuts you off is resentment. Whether you're aware of the resentment or not, that's what separates you from who you could be. Resentment separates, it prevents you from being genuine. And then, of course, people become proud of the resentment and proud of the identity that the externalized identity that resentment leads to. You know, and again, you know, why would you have an abortion pride march? You know, you're proud of your sin. Make an identity out of it. You know, and there's tons of other examples where people are proud of the identity that comes from, ultimately, that comes from resentment, not wanting to face it. So where you put your faith, and whether you're aware of it or not, you have faith. You do. Whether you're aware of it or not, you have faith. You have faith, and you've put that faith somewhere. Whether you're aware of it or not, you've put it somewhere. Probably, on the outside world, chances are at least a good chunk of it's on the outside. You know, but are you true to yourself? Do you have the guts to face yourself? Do you have the guts to face your conscience? You know, that's the question. Do you have the guts to attempt to be as genuine as possible? Because when it comes right down to it, it's all about identity and the source of your identity. Where does your identity come from? Your identity comes from what are you putting your faith in? That's the source. You know, that'll give you a good indication of where your identity is coming from. So, anyway, probably better be cutting this off. I need to get to bed. I'm going to set my alarm in the morning so that I can get up and get out of here after the 10-hour break is up and get on over to the St. Louis area and see if I can't get, you know, do the drop and hook, pick up my package, and I'm sure they'll be coming up with some other load. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.